Hello, everyone. We are your hosts, Susan, Katie, and Jill. We are longtime educators who are here to share with you all things education. We want to inspire you, help you innovate, dream new visions, and best of all, make you laugh. The education field is not an easy one, but we do it because we love kids and we want the very best for them. Join us as we laugh, learn, and get schooled on KLED & Co. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Get Schooled with Kale Education and Company. Susie, how you doing?
I'm great.
Yeah?
Yes.
All right.
Excited about our guest. I'm excited about our story time. Like, this is just fantastic.
We do have a very special guest we'll introduce here in just a minute. You're making me tell the story today.
Oh, I definitely am. I'm so excited. So I'm going to tee it up for you. Hey, Jill, how is summer school going? How's that been? Anything exciting happen during summer school?
Okay, so here's where we start. The things that go wrong always happen on the days that you're not here with me.
You know, I have theory on that.
And I have to do it by myself. Mm-hmm. And I don't enjoy doing things by myself. I enjoy surrounding myself with a team of people. That's how I do things.
For sure you're going to say you. I enjoy surrounding myself.
For sure you.
That's what she meant to say.
People, for sure.
People listening, she meant you. You specifically, Suze.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So summer school on this particular day started like any other normal day starts. The kids came in. They were putting their things away in the cubbies. And I shoo them outside. Now, for a second in my mind, for the listeners, I don't enjoy outside. I mean, if I'm with my girlfriends on a patio with some wine, I love the outside. Beyond that.
That's really in your mind what the outside was before.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. To look at some
your
pretty
wine,
nature.
Patio and-
yeah. So every time the kids go out, like I don't like it.
No, there's a distinct difference in who with the weeks
for sure.
We have running summer school.
Yeah. They don't really like it when I'm in charge.
They go out multiple times.
Yeah. I just, there's lots of things outside that could go wrong. And I just like to
that's
hedge my bets.
Is.
I don't
yes.
like it.
Yes. It, that's yes.
Mm-hmm. And I've always felt that way. Like yes. recess as an administrator and like it because things happen at recess. And like, I told a principal friend one time, the rainy days are my favorite because I know that my child won't be outside at recess.
That just makes me like want to bang my head.
It's
on
insane. It's another little like look into the crazy that is Jill, but
yes.
That's fine. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I shoo them outside. I walk out with them and we are standing there on the sidewalk and there's a group of boys that always goes down and plays football. And yeah, so they
that
were
older, that older group,
the older group. And so they were walking down to play the game. And I'm standing and greeting people as they're coming in and the boys come running back to me and they go, "Miss Chilt, there's a man down there on the ground." And I go, "What?" And so I glance over. And there is, in fact, something over there. And I, you know, your mind wants it to be like a stack of clothes or something. Like, please let this not be what they just said.
Just clothes lying.
And
there.
So I go.
Sixth grade boys
okay.
don't know what it is.
I go, everybody inside. So they come in. Then I have two girls walking across at the exact same time.
So what did they tell you they thought?
So they just said there's a man on the ground.
Oh, okay.
That's what they said. There's
okay.
a man on the ground. And I said, is that a child? Because like at first, like I go and then like in my head, I'm counting everyone. And because that's terrifying, right? And they go, no, it's not. It's a man. And I go, okay, run along inside. And so I kind of like tiptoe over. Because I'm
this
by
is
myself.
The part I just wish I could have seen.
I'm by myself.
I
and I need
just
to preface.
To
I need to preface for myself. This all ends well, friends. It all ends well. But at the time, it's a little terrifying. And so I'm by myself. Mm-hmm. And in my training and my many years as an administrator, you don't do things by yourself. Like that's a no-no. You call someone and you get someone in the arena with you. You are not in the arena alone.
Because that's what we like to do as educators. If we going down, we're taking all our closest friends with us.
All our friends. And so I tiptoe over and I see him laying there and he's straight on his back, hands over his head, like flat, homeless man. What I assume is a homeless man. And so I call 911.
And they're talking me through what to do. And they said, now, is he breathing? And I go, well, I don't know. And they go, well, can you check?
Wrong girl.
And I said, I am here, sir, by myself. And there are children here. Like I have to be very careful in this situation. The children have to come first. Mm-hmm. This is what I'm dealing with. Mm-hmm. Can you send someone? Mm-hmm. So he's sending. And so then I can hear the sirens. They're coming. And he said, would you start chest compressions? And I go, I'm sweating.
You're sweating.
And I go, I want to say yes.
See that face?
I go, but again, I'm here by myself.
But I gotta say no.
And there's children. And like, I don't know what's wrong or why he's here. I said, but I can hear the sirens. They're coming. I promise you, you probably don't even want me to do that. Like, I am gonna mess that up more.
She just made that executive decision. You know what? I'm not your girl for that.
So I said, let me see if there's anyone else here. So I run inside and I'm like, is there anyone that's like, knows CPR really well, whatever. And so,
which by the way, you're trained in and are certified in,
but I know my limits and I know what I might make worse and I know what I might make better. And perhaps this man is not better off with me trying to do anything. And so I hear them. They're coming. This is like literally 2 minutes, maybe.
Yes.
And so the EMTs come up and they get out of the ambulance. And it's very clear to me this is not their first rodeo with this.
Correct.
Not at all. And so they walk up to him and they just tap him on his shoulder. And that man popped up off the ground in a way I have never seen a human come off the ground before. I mean, it was like from here to here in like 1 second flat. And then he grabs a stick and is like coming at them. And I keep thinking to myself, if that had been me, like I would have been in the hospital ambulance because I would have had a heart attack.
Yeah, you would have.
And so he's okay.
Which you know would have happened. I mean, had it, you
absolutely,
started
if I would have been down there with him,
yeah. Mm-hmm,
oh my gosh, mm-hmm. He could have grabbed me. Like there's all these scenarios mm-hmm. playing out in my mind. And so I'm replaying this to people as the day goes on, because I was like, I mean, you feel really bad. Like I wouldn't want to not help someone. Mm-hmm. Right. But that's a lot going on. And all that's I can think about is there's kids inside. Like what if he does stand up? What if he has, I don't know. What if he has anything,
yeah, you
know?
You didn't know anything.
I didn't know anything. And so I'm talking to a police officer friend the next couple of days. And I said, look, here's what happened. Like, is there anything I should have done differently? And he's like, no, absolutely not. Like you did exactly what you should have done. He goes, but before I could even tell him the whole story, he goes, oh, he popped right up.
Yeah. He knew.
He popped right up. Yeah. He goes, happens almost every time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He goes, but you don't ever go close.
Well, it's not
because
like
you don't know.
I mean, so you called and told me this story.
Yeah.
And as all good friends should.
Yeah.
And we've talked about our friendships somewhat on this, on this podcast, you know, like the time she hired the nutritionist and I just laughed out loud. I interrupted a meeting to laugh out loud.
Yeah.
Anyway, well, we're going to come back to that later when you let us know how that's going.
Yeah.
So she calls me and she says, you won't believe this. Mm-hmm. She tells me what happened. Now, of course, I'm going to give her a hard time, right? Because that's what good friends should do.
Yeah.
And then I could tell she's kind of stressing. And I said, Jill, you wouldn't touch that person. I said, it's not like, I mean, what's the first thing they tell us in all of our CPR training anyway? Like, you got to make sure like the area is clear.
Right.
In a situation like that, you don't know the area is clear. You don't know what's under the clothes. Right. You don't know anything about that human being.
Right.
And like you said, the time that it took the paramedics to arrive was like so fast.
So quick, yeah.
And in the same time you're getting kids inside, you're letting people know what's going on. Right. So like,
there was a lot going on.
But I just, I mean, it didn't keep me.
I mean, right.
Had a fella been driving by, had I collapsed.
Right. Oh.
I'm going to need you.
Yes. I'll take care. Yes. I'm there.
Okay.
I'm there.
Just remember that one time I saved you from choking on that
steak?
Yes,
I do.
I did.
Yeah. that's a situation I'd be aware of. You know, you walk in, you know what you're doing when you got to go into action.
But you know what you're working with.
I do know what I'm working with.
And that kind of leads me to my question. Since you know what you're working with, are you sure you're going to do chest compressions?
I would on you. I would on you, my love. I would on you. But then my police officer friend even told me, he's like, it's all changed. Like, we don't even do it the same way now. And I'm like, oh my gosh. So anyway,
staying alive.
Yeah.
We were singing to Staying Alive.
We were. Yeah. Oh, so, so this is the day Susan's not there. Like, later in the day, a kid got hurt and I didn't have the phone number at the time. And anyway, so then like two things happened and then there was a breathing incident and like all these things kept happening. And I called her and I go, boss, I quit. Like these things happen when you're here, not when I'm here.
And in fact, they do. They do happen.
They do.
Well, I mean, not the dude. That hasn't happened.
I have dealt with a lot of people that are homeless and, you know, need help. Whatever.
I have too.
I've never had that situation happen. Yeah, it was a new one.
That's a once in a lifer.
Ooh, let's hope. Man.
Mm-mm-mm. So
end of the story, it ended well. He's fine.
She really wants you guys to know.
I really want you to know he's okay. And he was put.
Please don't respond to the podcast with, what do you think?
What are you thinking?
Please don't do that.
No, God.
Don't do that to me. Hello.
I mean,
out there. Don't do that to me. No feedback. Please, no feedback. No. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You're a good human being, Jill Brown.
I mean, that was a tough day.
It was.
I needed to leave right after that and go like decompress a little bit. Uh-huh. But it was fine.
Outdoor patio.
Yeah. With some
nature.
Wine and friends.
And I think that's a wrap.
Okay. Well, and there's another one. So all the things, every day's different.
Yeah.
I'll take that as a once though. A once in a lifetime.
One time
and we're done. Our guest today.
Yes.
I love this lady so very much.
And I love you too, but I got nothing after that.
Right. It was a day. Yeah. So Miss Dee Frank-Hedlund is with us today. We have known each other for 20 years.
Or more.
Ish. Since 2005.
Yep.
Whatever that is.
Yep.
We've been through lots of different programs and lots of things over the years that have come down, mainly in reading. We work together in reading a lot. And so I'm going to let her introduce herself and tell us your background, how you've come to be where you are, all the things you've done over the years, the amazing things you've done over the years.
Oh, it's been a circular route somewhat, Jill.
That's okay.
I was a classroom teacher for many years and left that and went into the world of sales. That's where you make the connection that you have to sell to educate.
Yeah.
And you got to educate to sell. Yeah. So it's really, you know, six of one, half dozen of another. And then came back to Missouri, went to the university, finished up a couple of advanced degrees, and went to the Department of Education in Jeff City. Mm-hmm. Spent 26 great years down there and then retired and made it 3 days.
That's right.
It's three more than I thought you would have.
I mean,
well, I retired on April Fool's Day, so is that appropriate?
Exactly. That is perfect. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. Appropriate.
At any rate, I had been working in federal programs, and that was where the requests started to come from.
Right.
For some assistance there.
Yeah.
Yes. Helping with program assistance and understanding. Because when you understand the why, you can do the what and the how with no problem whatsoever.
Right.
So that was 5-6 years ago.
Have you been retired 6 years?
Yeah. Yeah. Hard to believe.
It is hard to believe. Yeah.
And we've continued along the way with each other and support for the districts you were working with and continue through CAIL.
Yeah. Yeah. So your niche is really in federal programs, helping schools understand the money they have.
Mm-hmm.
How to ensure it is used to support their plan, their school plan, and how to make sustainability last over time.
Yes.
With money, not just a one-time money thing.
Exactly.
But how are you going to do this?
How to bring all of these pieces together districts this last year have been working on rewriting their CSIPs, their Comprehensive School Improvement Plans.
Yeah, their favorite things to do.
Well, they are, and they can be a really very innovative and exciting time when you work together on them. But we've got to understand all the parts. It's kind of like an old-fashioned slinky.
Yeah.
You know, everything feeds into each other and bringing it all to the table and getting things like your federal programs monies out of the silo.
Right.
And how can we integrate those monies with other parts of what's going on instructionally and programmatically in the district.
And this is like a really specialized area, I feel like. And I say that as a seasoned administrator.
Oh, it's super specialized.
Like, no one teaches you how to go into the system where the monies are, how to understand them, how to know where you can move them back and forth, how to know if you can use them for this or you can't use them for this. And I think it is so complicated. And I have watched Dee explain this to people and she has walked me through the system I don't know how many times. And there's no way I could get on it right now, look at it, know what to look at and know what to do with it. Now, I would know if you told me I had this much money, I would know how to like plan for that. Mm-hmm. But I think that what you do is so helpful for people because you see ways to use money creatively that will help them for multiple years, not just a one-time shot. And so you get them to think more broadly about, well, what is your actual goal? And then how do we use the money to get to your goal? Not just how do we use the money to spend the money because we have to spend the money. And I think that's where people get to if they don't have help because they don't understand. Or maybe someone's called and said, hey, you haven't spent your money. Like, you need to spend it. And then they kind of figure out they have it.
Yeah.
And then it's like this rush to, okay, I have a deadline of when I have to have it in. So I'm just going to order a bunch of stuff.
Yes, we don't.
That happens so often.
Ever do that. The focus of it all, Jill, is the student data. And it's the student themselves.
Yeah.
What do these students need? Where do these kids need to go?
Right.
Where is our data showing us that we have gaps? What can we do to bring them up?
Right.
I don't know if I'm a geek or a nerd or what, but this has been my life.
Yeah.
And to help our leaders understand where those sorts of steps can be taken, how we can fund them, and how we can continue to keep that effort going is a critical part of this. We don't buy stuff to buy stuff.
Right.
Not on my watch.
Right.
But if we need to,
has to be
add
a plan.
The very best purchase we can make is a qualified adult.
Yeah.
Face to face with that child.
Oh yeah, for sure.
And we cannot just put someone there in front of the child without having a plan for that sustainability.
Right.
So that's where I have been and continue to be.
What do you see is like when people call you to come in and help them, what are the biggest questions that they ask you?
Well, they just don't understand how these programs can knit together and how they can come back to the table and tie into what's already going on in the district. So I would say that having them understand that, like I said earlier, when it comes to the monitoring and that kind of thing, when they understand the why, then we can do the what and the how ever so much easier.
Right.
They may not like it, but we can figure it out and get them to the point of compliance and support for students.
So when you go into work with somebody, it's kind of like an all-year process. I mean, you go in because they have certain deadlines they have to meet, right?
Yes. Every 3 years they're monitored.
Yep.
So we often meet during that time period. Their federal programs consolidated budgets and plans are due. In fact, they're due Friday.
Oh.
So I sometimes meet them for the first time on Thursday, the 29th before the 30th. But yes, it can be a long-term process. Yeah. And some folks I get a couple phone calls from and we get them squared away and they're good. Because they have staff in their buildings for the most part. Many times they're Title I staff or any of the other people that are in support of those programs know what they need to do. It's a matter of getting it done.
Yeah.
And part of it, too, is the DESE system and working through that.
Yeah. So, I mean, any state you're working in, like they're all going to have these kinds of paths you have to go down to be able to get to the money and
But they're all going to look and be a little bit different in how you are accessing the information, how your allocations are being carried out and that kind of thing.
Yeah. But to me, the moral of the story, is when I work with you and I listen to you talk to people, there is money there.
Yeah.
It's just, you have to know where it is, what you have to do to get it, what is qualified, what is not qualified, and then how to build your system. So I think that's the unlocking. Like, no matter what state you're in, there is a process for that. You just have to find someone who understands how to do it and understands how to do it in the way that is expected to be done.
That's right.
Because that's still also the hard part.
That's right. And the way that is still the legal steps to go through and make certain that we're following the compliance.
Yeah. Anybody teach you how to do that?
As a matter of fact, Jill, I did that 1 year.
You did federal programs 1 year?
For 1 year, because somebody had to step away. And so I was asked to do it for 1 year. And I can't remember the gal's name. I was not in central Missouri at the time. I was on the west side of the state. And I can't remember who the gal's name was from DESE, but she might as well have lived with me. Like, because I mean, it was just sort of dropped. And I didn't have the background. I hadn't been an administrator yet.
Right.
So like, I didn't even have that Title I knowledge. Yeah. So it was a big learning curve, but I will tell you after that, you know, my administration was all in Title I buildings.
Yes.
So having that background,
that was helpful.
Very helpful. Very, very helpful.
Yeah.
But I also can't.
Yeah. I sometimes feel not sorry for, but I do wish all Title I principals would have maybe had a little experience there, because especially in larger districts, you're really left to what your federal programs person knows.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's great. Sometimes those folks change in and out a lot, and it's interpretation, right? And so if like your federal programs person isn't going to reach out to somebody like our lovely friend here,
right,
then there's, I do think there are some misconceptions and things that occur that, you know, going back to your planning and your systems, like if you're really thoughtful of that and conscientious of that and you know what's available to you, it really makes a difference.
Well, you want to maximize.
You do want to maximize.
And if you don't have help with that, I think it's hard to maximize.
Well, we get stuck in the rut of we have always done.
Yes, yes.
And that's up to a point that can be considered. But we can also look at the what if or how could we.
And that changes the whole dynamic.
Oh, it does.
And it moves it out of being a checklist. Like, right. So I think sometimes, and I don't know what it stems from, if it's people not understanding federal programming or what have you, but like, these are the things that you have to do to be in compliance. Yeah. So here's your compliance checklist, do this, do this, whatever. And I get that. I mean, I get that it's a frustration and it feels like it's a disconnect from what you're trying to do in the kids. But if you reframe that and think, you know, but this is also going to take care of that. And this fits in my bigger picture this way, I think.
But we also have to credit too, Susan, I think, the overwhelming amount of duties that our building administrators are responsible for now.
Oh, I know. I absolutely agree with that.
Insane. And many times this is one more thing.
For your Title I principals, it is. And that's exactly what I'm saying. So like, if you don't have somebody, like if you're a Title I principal and you don't have somebody that you're pretty close to, that's your federal programs person, or if you're in a smaller district and you might be, like having someone like yourself as a resource is critical, because you don't know like what could be, you know, like you don't know how to change those questions around, because it can feel very heavy and very compliance driven.
One more thing to check.
Right. As opposed to look at what you can provide for children. Yeah. I loved how you worded that.
Yeah. And I think it goes back to, we've said this in previous podcasts, like reach out to someone.
Yes.
You don't have to do it by yourself.
No.
Like I never would have tried to do any of that by myself. I would call you all the time and, you know, we need help, or we need to know how to do this, or explain to me why this is happening. I think you have to build, a group of people who you can go to.
Ugh.
And having having a federal finance person on your side is a good tactic. Something they should do.
It's just a part of a good leadership.
It is.
Model.
That's what I was going to say. Good leaders do that.
Good leaders do that.
And having a guide on the side for any of these kinds of things is definitely going to be something, because in building that network, in building that personal team, you bring them to the table for your building and for your students. And that's where everybody benefits.
Right. It goes back to my don't be in the arena alone.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Don't not be alone because you're never going to do it as well as it could be done if you have other people with
you. That's
right. It's never going to happen. So, so I think it's really important. So now I'm going to ask you a tough question.
Oh my. I got no dead bodies. So
I might still be having some nightmares about that. So what do you see changing in the next 10 years?
Oh my.
I mean, we've been doing this a long time. We've been doing it a long time, and there's definitely some circular things that keep coming back. But what do you really, what do you anticipate seeing different?
I think that I'm looking at the overall skill world of our kids, not the curriculum-based sorts of things.
Sure.
We've got to prepare kids for jobs that don't even exist right now, Jill. I mean, I know you know that.
I know.
But we've got to help them gain skills in appreciating the flexibility in different points of view. They've got to be adaptable. If COVID taught us nothing else, we've got to be adaptable, particularly with our technology and like our friend Blake over here and the kinds of things that he does in his magical world. I think we've got to build a better world of acceptance and build the abilities in terms of teamwork so that I come to the table with a team with me to do these kinds of things. We've got to increase our abilities as thinkers and teach our kids in that realm. My mama used to say, you can, you know, to look something up, you can gargle it instead of Google it. Well, we live in a world where we gargle everything.
Right.
But let's think. Let's get to that point. We need problem solvers. I think that acceptance and exploring of creativity.
We've kind of lost that.
And we want to have people that are in that channel, in that vein. I think we've got to maintain working on that positive attitude and the perseverance. It's way too easy to give up and click the button and go on to something else in some instances.
Right.
So those are definitely not educational strands. And yet if we don't have those foundations,
it's
very hard to go on from there. Maybe a little bit of a Pollyanna attitude.
No, I mean, I think you're right. And we've said that about Blake several times. Blake's our behind the scenes guy. You've probably, he did a podcast with us a little bit ago, but you know, Susan and I are always reminded we need Blake because he's 20 something and he is not ever afraid to tell us that we are antiquated.
That was,
do you like that word?
Very well done.
You're welcome.
And I've got you by two generations, kid.
Was it better than calling you old? I would never call her old. I would call you old.
Yes, I know. All the people know.
But I think it's so important, and I read somewhere, and I know I've said this before on one of these, like some of the top companies in the world, the CEOs always have a young person that works alongside them because they're going to be able to say, like, people don't do this anymore. Like, he's real quick to tell us when the agenda
laugh at us.
He laughs at us, but
with
this
cute little face,
I know,
that says
adorable
oh.
little face. And so we were copying some agendas for something, and he goes, "Why are you doing that?" And I go, "Well, Blake, people our age still want a paper copy." He's like, "Can we just do a QR code?" So I mean, but like we're aging out, and so like you have to force yourself to think about it. And I think when we don't do that, we're missing the boat. And so when we keep making these decisions about education and we're not talking to people who are actually living the new technology and living how to do the things that our younger kids are doing, that's a miss on our part, I believe.
Yeah, that adaptability is critical.
Yeah.
It really is. Mm-hmm. And we are all too quick to look at that and say, oh, no, we'll stick with,
they don't know.
The big chief tablet.
Right.
And we can't do that.
No,
can't do that.
I totally agree. So yeah, I think it'll be interesting. I think there's definitely
it's going to be
change
fun.
Coming.
Oh yeah,
yeah, yeah.
And it's fun every day.
Yeah, for sure. So if people want to find you for help, how would they do so?
Well, I'm not laying out there in the field.
Oh my gosh, I would come to your rescue.
I know you would. I know you would, and bring a Diet Coke.
I will.
Well, they can find me at my email me. dfhconsulting@socket.net, or they can call me at 573-864-9954, and the red bat phone will go off. And we'll.
That's about how that works.
Yeah,
too.
Right? Yes, it is.
That's great.
That is just one of the best. Or they can contact you.
Yeah, always, and I'll get you in touch. For sure.
Spider camera on, so you know where I am.
Yeah.
But I do, and I'm happy to answer questions. Try to lend a hand.
Yep.
Sometimes it's so frustrating that we are using up an awful lot of time searching and we need to just get to it. So call me. I'll help you find it.
Yeah. I think that's the key. Don't wait.
No.
Like just call her up. And you are the best at getting back with people. And you will help anyone. Your heart is so big. I just love you, but I mean, to work with Dee, you will feel better after she sits down with you. She's never going to make you feel like you don't know what you're doing. So you can be completely vulnerable, which is a really awesome skill because sometimes people are afraid to call in help because they don't want to feel dumb, you know, but you are really good at saying, hey, most people don't know this. So let's just sit down and I'll show you how to do it. And you will make better choices for your school and for your kids and for your teachers. And
it's all about the students.
It's all about the kids. Yeah. Yeah. So reach out to her or reach out to us and we will get you in touch. Thank you for coming today.
Oh, thank you.
It was painless, right?
Well, it was a lot better than I thought it might
be. This is her first.
Except I've got no stories. I'm going to have to come up with some.
You're going to have to come up with some.
You've got stories.
Oh, she's got stories.
You have some stories.
Yes. Well, you nailed your first podcast.
Oh, thank you.
Congratulations.
Oh, my.
We'll have you back.
Please.
Okay. All right. Thanks, everybody. We will see you next time.